This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again, blazing a path to the hearts of sinners and cutting down error, my friend. I mentioned in our Sunday services last week, the Old Trailblazer refutes error. That's one of my calling. One of my prominent things in my ministry here is to warn sinners to flee from the wrath of God and then to refute error. There's so much error in the land. Someone asked me, said, what error are you talking about, Trailblazer? I'm talking about smooth preaching that we have, that our preachers are now are so afraid to take a stand on the side of the Lord, on the side of Christ, and stand up in their pulpits and preach hell off the cross and tell folks they're going to hell if they don't ever repent. Do you ever hear your pastor say anything about hell, my friend? They call me the old hellfire and damnation preacher. They call me blood and guts preacher. But my friend, the Lord is blessing the ministry, giving us grace to go on. Did you know it takes grace to be true to folks? Do you know it takes grace to be true to your own loved ones, your family, your friend? It does. It takes grace for me to be true to you, my friend. But I just want to tell you, this ministry here, Radio Missions, the Old Trailblazer broadcast, we take a stand on the side of righteousness, on the side of judgment. And that's what we were studying about in our last study, taking a stand. And I just want to tell you how this pulpit stands. If you'd write me, I'll send you a copy of our mission statement. It'll tell you all about. But let me just make a few statements here. How this church stands and how this pulpit, the Old Trailblazers pulpit. But listen, I tell folks, things that they do, they can't hide it from me. No, my friend. Folks get out there and slip around and go to late night movies and watch those vulgar movies on TV. That tell me you can rent a movie on TV that has no kind of safeguards, no censorship whatsoever. It's a gutter talk on there. But listen, my friend, I don't know how they get along, but they do. Those folks, I tell you, you can smoke or do what you want to. And folks will tell you, well, if you object, you're interfering with his freedom. Well, what about my freedom? I get on a bus or a train or a plane. He used to have smoking on there. And I said, what about my freedom? What about my freedom? Now, like I said here at the House of Mercy, the parsonage that we have here for folks to come in, and I don't want smoking in the walls or smoking in there. No, the furniture and everything. I don't take it. I can't take it. I say to every least one of you who connected anyway with this church here, this work, if you've got to smoke, go on out into eternity with a cigarette in your mouth. But get out of this organization just as quick as you can resign if you're not going to give it up. And that goes for everyone. I just don't believe that you can sit down and puff your cigarette with your Bible in your hand and have a great devotional meeting and teach God's word puffing on a cigarette. And I just don't believe that. That's my opinion. Now, it's just like you can't sit down there for 2 or 3 hours and looking at the television and have a great spiritual house. You can't do that. You cannot do it. And I know there's some things on television that may be well and good, but listen, you can't do it. Save your gizzard if you had a dozen. In spite of all hell, in spite of all sin, in spite of slavery and everything else, here was a home, speaking about Moses' parents, here was a home that stood out as a godly home and a home where the father and the mother believed God's word. And they, by faith, they hid Moses for 3 months by faith. And their faith stood. Their faith rested where? On the word of God. All right. Did it bear fruit? Will your home bear fruit if you take a stand? Sure. Go and take the life of Moses. And we'll see that later on. Moses was given back to them until he became of age. You say 12 years of age, and when he went into the courts of Egypt, Pharaoh's court, as Pharaoh's adopted son. Do you believe in the providence of God, my friend? I do. I'm a firm believer that the Lord has his finger on everything, no matter how insignificant it may be. Listen, do you think that mother spared anything during those 12 years of teaching that boy as well as her other children? The covenant of grace, all that she ever knew by studying the revelation of Jesus, of Jehovah God, over and over again, she laid it on that boy's heart what it meant to know Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews. Then, no wonder when Moses was 40 years of age, one night he couldn't sleep. He walked the floor, and after hour, maybe day after day, until he walked into the house of his foster mother and said to her, I cannot be called your son. Pharaoh's daughter had plucked him out of the water, had adopted him as her own son. Moses said, I can't stay here any longer. I'm a Hebrew. Jehovah God is my God. He's mine. I'd rather suffer with the children of Israel in all of their bondage and all their slavery than enjoy the pleasures of sin in Egypt. And now he was entitled to the throne. He was a second in command. Had he stayed there another few years, he would have been the Pharaoh of Egypt. But listen, and then it was a great hour when he had to walk into the court of Pharaoh, look Pharaoh into the face, that man who had been good to him and raised him, and say to his foster father, I can no longer be called your son. Where did he learn that? He learned it at his mother's knee. He learned it at his father's knee. He learned it back there in the slave home of his father and mother. Based upon what? Based upon God's eternal word. Surely it bore much fruit. And this accounts for the boldness of Moses' parent. They were following the Lord by believing his word. They were acting upon the revealed will of God to their hearts regarding their child. I asked you this morning, tonight, are you believing God's word? Do you believe God's word? When you go to church on Sunday or Wednesday night or Sunday night, and the pastor brings a message, do you believe what he's saying? Is he reading from God's word? Can you believe it, my friend? Listen now. Let me raise this question. Are there times when we can be disobedient to the laws of God when they go contrary to the revealed will of God in his word? There's a doctrine that is being hurled across our nation, permeating every strata of life, that no matter what laws, if you don't like them, listen, if you don't like them, don't keep them. Then, under civil disobedience, I can walk out and defy the laws of our land? My friend, that doctrine is born in hell. Born in hell, my friend. That's Satan's to the core. That's anarchy. Our government wouldn't have stood for that 12 years ago. All of these demonstrations and those things. No, 10, 12 years ago. But our courts and all the other courts, Supreme Court, have handed down decision after decision until students all over the world are revolting against any type of authority. And young people revolting against the authority of their homes. Oh, my friend. Now, with that word of explanation, let me say, there are times when we know the revealed will of God. Then we can boldly stand out against the authority of wicked men. Now, if a man comes this morning and you say you cannot preach what you're preaching, we'll put you in jail. I'd say to him, put me in jail. And I'm afraid we may be coming close to that. I'm afraid that. I heard someone say the other day, and I hope it's not true, but they said in one country you could not preach on the first three chapters of Romans because it speaks of the total depravity. But my friend, when I get documentation on it, I'll bring that to you. I'd say, if I can't preach, go ahead and put me in jail. I'll go on. I'll preach in jail. I'll defy their authority. But the laws of our land are such, we're not going to disobey them. We don't have that. You remember John Bunyan? Old brother John Bunyan? Back there in those days, they had to hide to preach up in the barn lofts and somewhere in the woods. And they arrested him. And he served, I believe, 13 years for preaching the gospel. And on one occasion, when he was in jail, the jailer befriended him. He saw the Lord in Brother Bunyan. So he befriended him, and he'd let him out at night. And he'd go home. Wasn't but a little far to his house. He'd go home at night and spend the night. Be back in the jail in the morning before the authorities come in. So one night, Brother Bunyan was asleep, and the Lord woke him up and impressed upon his heart to get back to the jail. So he went back and got in his jail, in his cell, pulled the door to, and lay down on his pillow. And after a while, a jailer came through and said, Mr. Bunyan, are you here? He said, I sure am. What's the matter? He said, well, the authorities are coming. They suspect me of letting you out. And so they were coming to see if you were here. Did you see how the providence of God saved Mr. Bunyan in that case, my friend? Oh, my friend, listen. Now here, let me raise another question. Should a wife always obey her husband in everything? The scripture says in Ephesians 5:22, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. Now, I know this is a sore spot with some of you folks, with you women. A wife is not honor bound to obey her husband when he's trying to make her go contrary to God's word. They forget that. The wife is to submit herself to her husband as the church unto Christ. And the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. Some of these old devils who try to make their wives obey them on that scriptural ground, they just in direct disobedience to the Lord, they ought to be taken out and boot whipped. And I'd like to put the first stripe on them. They ought to do it. Suffer. Listen now. Suffer. The scripture says you must obey. You must obey me. Well, the scripture says you love them too, like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We're going to get back into this. And listen, it is then she won't mind obeying you. No, some old devils are listening to me this time, and they want your wife to go out with them and all the cabarets and the underworld and drink and all that stuff. You don't appreciate a good wife. And God reached down and saved some of these women just as pure and clean. And yet you devils, you're in so cruel and mean, you want them to take them into sin. And they ask me what to do, and I say, stand out on the word of God. You don't have to bow to such a wicked devil. No, you don't. Now, if they'll love you like Christ loved the church, gave himself for you, then you won't mind submitting to him and bowing to him, even not one bit, not one bit. You won't listen. Then on the other hand, there are some women, I don't care how much you love them, they can't appreciate it. They don't know how to love. No, my man, I'll get into that in our next study. Looking at those things, we might read you some verses there pertaining to what man and woman, what their privileges are and their responsibilities are. But this is the Old Trailblazer broadcast, and I wish you would write me and let me know if you were just first two or three times you've heard the broadcast on some of these new stations we've been on, and let me know what the call letters were and what town you're in, and it'll do me heart good. And then if you can, sit down and help me with the broadcast. Write me a check, whether it be for $1 or $100 or $100,000. Oh, my friend, the Lord says we receive not because we ask not. I know many folks today, well, I'm not giving my money to that preacher. Well, you don't give your money to this preacher. This preacher don't take one nickel out of this church, not one penny. No, sir. Most folks know it. And I'll be glad to open the books and show them to you if you'd come by here and sit down, drink some coffee with me, and eat a piece of pie, and come on by, and we'll take you to lunch one day. So do that, if you will. The Old Trailblazer just loves people. I love to talk to people. I love to hear people tell how the Lord saved them. And that's the pride and joy of my life. And I do love to preach the gospel, tell you the truth. What is the truth? Man is a sinner. Christ died for sinners. That's the gospel, my friend. The good news that Christ died for sinners. But remember, the Old Trailblazer, my website, radiomissions.org. If you go there, see much more about the Old Trailblazer. And then my mailing address, Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Goodbye and God bless you.